entertainment that we deprived our followers of.
Oh, the pre-joke jokes? Mm-hmm. The pre-bad joke jokes?
It's supposed to be entertaining,
okay,
right?
Well, I did start recording now, so we are at a point. Hello, and welcome to Two... What the hell was our name of our podcast again?
Oh, Two Dudes, One Ball.
Two Dudes, One Ball. We are here to talk about Portland Thorns, NWSL, all kinds of random crap we want to talk about, and hopefully absolutely destroy your feeds, destroy your brain with terrible bullshit. Mm-hmm. I am Michael White. You can follow me at Michael L. White. He, across from me, the most beautiful man in the general vicinity, Ryan Brown. You can catch him at RyanMB30 on Twitter. Show notes at withonions.com. And if you ever want to hit us up with terrible comments or terrible questions, or even good ones, because we don't expect anyone to give us good ones, hatemail4soccer@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Ryan, how are you today?
Not bad. I'm having some bourbons. I decided I needed to drink, but to do this.
Well, that is okay, because my heart rate just went up to quadruple since I started talking and recording.
I know, this is kind of intimidating.
It really is. I've been worrying about this since last night, and before that, days before that.
I think we just need to drink beforehand.
That's probably a good idea.
I think what we need to do is when we just get together, either we have David or Rachel with us, and the moment we start talking soccer, they just turn the record on the iPhone, and that's the podcast. We don't realize when we're being recorded.
That would be better. Has someone else started? It's worse when I can actually see the volume levels change on the Audacity program. That is not fun. Yeah. So we should talk about things. Well, it's primarily being a Portland people. We are going to talk about Portland Thorns. So let's just get started there, and we'll talk about anything else after that.
Yeah.
So recently we had our lovely Englander, Jodie Taylor. She is now off to Arsenal.
4 days before preseason, we find out she's going to Arsenal.
Yeah.
But this is like problematic for me, because so the good news, though, that means that if she's going to Arsenal Ladies, that means she's playing Seattle in their preseason. I wonder if she's going to stick around here, or if she's flying to England for training, or is she going to meet her people? Is she going to meet Arsenal Ladies in Seattle? She's going, hey, here I am.
Arsenal, I think, no, they are not on break. The FAWSL 1 and 2 season is starting now, so she's probably getting in more match fit if she wasn't already from whatever the Tucson trip was. But they have about a month break before that Seattle game, so I assume she'll be back. Yeah. We're already seeing the scores roll in. The big clubs of City and Arsenal are already off to nice wins.
So this is in the middle of their season that they're doing.
They're 3 weeks ahead of the NWSL, if I recall correctly.
Okay. That's weird.
It is.
It's weird. Hey, come play a preseason friendly with us in the middle of your season.
Even weirder seeing a team from Abu Dhabi where their women are playing in like a League Two stadium, because England still doesn't give a shit about showing up to the games yet.
No, they don't. But at the very least, their women's teams are part of the men's teams, and it gives them a lot greater financial stability.
Absolutely.
For the most part, unless the men's team happens to get, like, I don't know, relegated and lose its money, and then the women's team is probably the first one to go.
Yeah. I think it's fitting that you and I, being women's soccer fans and fans of Tottenham and Everton, because neither of them are in the top division, and both of them have no money they will spend on the women.
Nope.
Like, half of the major rosters for Liverpool and City seem to be comprised of people Everton once temporarily gave some shit about and then never wanted to pay again. I think Tottenham is in the league below FAWSL2, which is called the 17 words Premier Division times 3 or something.
I've been wanting to watch it. Actually, I wouldn't mind watching the English Women's League, but there's just no good way of watching it.
The only time I've seen clips, it's on one of their local channels, BT Sport. And they'll air the entire games, but you have to be a local to have the streaming access, you know, the same way you have...
VPN.
Yes, I need to get going on that.
We can set up a VPN in Russia.
Yeah.
A Russian VPN. And if someone looks at our traffic, we're just Russian dudes with an intense interest in women's soccer.
Yeah.
One of the blogs that I follow on Tumblr will routinely post links to various sites for, like, the UEFA Women's Champions League.
Yes.
And to some of the English Women's League.
Yeah. What's the podcast? A couple of my friends have been retweeting a lot. I think it's called Women's Soccer United. Has had been doing a really good job. Mm-hmm. About that.
Yeah.
If I find them, I'll post them in the show notes. But
yeah. I was actually surprised to see something on Tumblr that was women's soccer related that wasn't, you know, crazy people shipping I don't know, Alex Morgan and Tobin Heath. Believe it or not, we do find useful women's soccer information and not just creepy people.
That's good.
Yeah. Have you ever explored the depths of women's soccer Tumblr?
No.
You know what we need? We need a two-stick for that game. We can make a two-stick. It's going to have... We can go with the idea of crutches, and we can paint crutches on the two-stick, and we can just put number 13, Alex Morgan. We got you, babe. We got you, my dear.
Yeah. It's too bad, because I think we talked about this. My original idea was to just throw some pride flag on a pair of crutches, but, you know, they're not going to let that in, especially with the new MLS requirements of the stadium. Unless one of us... David, do you want to break your legs soon for us?
I have crutches.
Sure. Who's the good actor here?
Well, so here's the thing. I've got a couple sets. I got. Oh, actually, I don't have crutches. Never mind. I got rid of them. I thought I had a boot, too. I mean, I did it because I broke my ankle many years ago, so we still had that. We could. But
Jamie tends to get soccer injuries. We could see what happens
then. Tennis injuries.
I mean, yeah.
But.
Hello, alcohol. Anyway.
Keep drinking. So, yeah. So, opening. So, home opening match. Against Alex Morgan and her pride.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going to happen? What's your expectations? Scoreline.
I don't even know what to expect scoreline. I keep thinking about the roster and this and that. One thing I thought of last year when we were so terrible is you'd have everybody all over the place. You had Monashim playing striker sometimes. You never saw Tobin Heath centrally even after she came back, even though I know she could do it, even though she only plays right mid. But one thing that was cool and scary at the same time I read in an article, if I eventually find it and put it in the show notes, was that Parsons is open to the idea of Sink playing Vero's role of the number 10, which kind of makes sense because you watch Sink last year when you're not yelling at everybody. She gets a lot of freedom to walk, roam around, come all the way back. And I always would think to myself, well, now we can't counter because she's basically where the defensive mid is. But between her age and her knowledge, you wonder if that... would be a fun place to have her, since you have no way of actually properly representing Vero, short of making everyone sad with your jersey in the stands every year.
Vero, yeah. Oh, I miss Vero.
I post the thing about Urruti scoring, and everyone tells me to stop. But Vero is about quadruply loved in this city that he ever was, I would think. So,
I think so too.
I think any reminder is a bad reminder.
Yeah, well, I think with Urruti, it's like we end up talking about him. We post his score. Like, anytime he scores, we share it almost in kind of an ironic fashion.
It's yeah.
Like, this is who we let go. Which, by the way, he scored today in their match against, I think it's DC.
Yes, that's right.
Or the Revs.
Mm-hmm.
One of those East Coast teams. I can't keep track of them.
It was definitely, it was DC. I saw someone tweeting the opening lineup.
So I think I think Urruti has now scored in every single match, in all four matches or three matches at this point for Dallas.
Did he score in that blowout loss? They lost 5 or 6, I think, in the second week. But anyway, yeah he's, maybe they're working a system with him. It disappoints me as we move away for temporarily. I'll get back. But it disappoints me that you had two drastically different skill sets in AD, a target number 9, tall, back to the post, you know, feeding it in, helping out other people. And he actually had the guy with European technical ability in Urruti, and then we'd never play them together. They just swap out of the 4-3-3.
That was frustrating.
Yeah.
Anyway. But what are you going to do? So Thorns. Yeah, slight digression.
That's what we're good for.
That's true. So Jody Taylor to Arsenal 4 days before preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. She was one of my favorite players. I'm quickly learning, though, in women's soccer that I can't like any of the players. Beyond maybe a passing fancy in him, because my heart breaks. Vero was my first heartbreak.
Yeah, I think women's soccer is a little bit worse, but men's soccer is bad enough. You get a guy, you get a Malian guy coming to Tottenham or Everton. He signs for a 3-year deal. If you're lucky, he lives it out, and then he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the rosters, and if you think about anyone that's not a superstar, they're gone rather quickly.
Yeah. But I think also with men's soccer, it's like they're almost untouchable. With women's soccer, it's still small enough and the venues are still intimate enough that you can kind of feel like you have a connection with a player. You can give them something.
Yeah.
Which we do with Thorns matches all the time. Sometimes that can be a bit creepy.
Yes.
But like...
When when everyone comes down the aisles of 107 and 8 at the end of the day and wants to creepily throw something at someone or toss their kid over the embankment, just Michael Jackson style. Acknowledge my kid or I'm dropping that motherfucker.
Sign my scarf. I want it back. Here's a phone number. And that's when most of Tumblr becomes real world problems.
Yeah. Maybe that's the Tobin Heath problem, is that all she does is the occasional favorite of your really creepy at message to her. I mean, that's the right way to do it, but maybe that creates the problem where the slash fiction starts to happen.
Oh, because she occasionally likes a tweet?
Yeah, which I think should be the most a fan, short of a few autographs after a couple games, should be required to do, but it's another digression.
Yeah, well, but I mean, even if she weren't, I get the feeling that... there would be creepy fiction about Tobin Heath, regardless of the number of posts that she liked, tweets, whatever the case may be. I mean, Tumblr. Let's go back into the insanity train that is WOSO Tumblr. Like on WOSO Tumblr, you run into shipping all the time, and there's this little thing called Talex, which is Tobin Heath and Alex Morgan, and there are people on Tumblr. So, did you see the picture on Instagram yesterday that got put up? It had Ali Long and Tobin Heath hugging each other. It's a really cute picture.
Is that the Thorns photography? Thorns. Yeah.
Right. Well, so it's Thorns' official Instagram account.
Okay.
And I saw that, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. The WOSO Tumblr is going to see this and have a shit fit. And you know, if you go through the comments on that post, what you'll see is someone's like, Talex forever. Because there's a lot of women soccer fans who seem to think, for them, their perfect combination, their ideal combination is Alex Morgan and Tobin Heath. And someone goes so far as to assume that maybe there's a little bit of a little under-the-table canoodling going on. Maybe like sort of this weird relationship. And some of them look at Ali Long as this weird threat.
Yeah.
Because they'll get these pictures of these women soccer players, these three, and they'll look at them and just go, oh, look at how Ali Long is looking over at Alex Morgan. Like, she's just jealous. And they'll create some weird shit. There's a Tumblr account that I'm not going to name because I don't want to cause that sort of shit.
No, it's okay.
So, but on Tumblr, this person's blog is nothing more than just, it's all Alex Morgan. And they don't even actually talk about how well Alex Morgan is playing. It's Alex Morgan's personal life. And actually, that's most of WOSO Tumblr. It's the personal lives of these women soccer players.
How weird.
And then speculating over who might be a lesbian. Like the amount of times that people ask if Tobin Heath is a lesbian. And one of my friends on Tumblr, she gets that question all the time. And she's like, it's none of my business and it's not yours either.
Damn.
Yeah, anyways, I'm not sure how we got onto that point.
I think this is the fun, is that we're not sticking to the script. We're not.
Yeah, so believe it or not, we do have a script, but it's like, meh. Okay.
Let me.
Okay, so our home opener is Portland Thorns. Wait, so it's not Alex Morgan and her in the Portland Thorns anymore. It's Alex Morgan and the Pride and the Orlando Pride.
The Orlando Geyser Domes. And the Orlando floating water titties.
But not only are they floating water titties, but they look like they're lactating too. Like it's...
Yeah, and why would you have a logo off of the most weird... I mean, it's Florida. I mean, it's a really dumb piece of artwork, but don't...
I think that's high art for Florida.
Fuck. That is fair. It's like, well, we don't get access to Adidas because they own all of the lion logos, but why don't they just do something else, like a angry golf side crocodile?
Ooh. How about this? How do you think the three supporter groups and all three fans in Seattle feel about the fact that the official supporters group for Orlando is the... what is it called? It's not the...
We can look it up.
Yeah, we're going to look this up real quick.
Orlando Pride.
The Orlando Reign, the Orlando Royalty, Orlando... What's the name of the official supporters group?
I've seen tweets in my shit from them. It's Orlando City.
Orlando Pride.
First Organized Supporter Club. This is riveting audio. Thank you for sticking around.
The Crown. There we go. How do you think all three supporters groups in Seattle and all three of the fans in those supporters groups feel about the fact that some Florida team has trademarked the Crown? I mean, that's clearly the reign. If you think about the Crown, like, that's a monarchy. That's like a royalty sort of thing. And so we associate that with the reign.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that's their logo. They've got a woman with a crown on her head. And now here you have the Orlando Pride and their supporters group, the the Crown. Like,
why not something with all of the Rain ones being royalty related? Why didn't they have one like the Iron Lady supporters group? You know, Margaret Thatcher. I mean, if we're gonna go English, everything we do and everything else we do, especially MLS related. No offense, might as well, you know, make it a little less monarchy related.
Yeah,
or maybe a Sex Pistols related group.
Yeah, you could. I don't know if that would fly with women's soccer because it's supposed to be family friendly.
That's true.
Okay, so our first match of the season is Alex Morgan and the Pride against who's our headliner? We're gonna say Christine Sinclair.
I think we still have to.
And the Portland Thorns. Okay.
As much as Tobin, we know her technical ability. She doesn't care for the limelight.
She doesn't, but that's kind of part of the reason I love her
so
much. Because she doesn't care about the limelight, but when she's interviewed and we've had a loss, the look on her face is pure disappointment.
Yeah.
Like, she is this, like, you can tell that she's hurt by how things went down. When Alex Morgan was here and was playing, well, okay. Playing is stretching it. When she, you know, sauntered
She played 75 home minutes last year. You give her due respect, sir.
And because she's part of the U.S. women's team, I should give her respect because she's Alex Morgan.
I know.
Please forgive me, Alex Morgan goddess.
She was really good in 2011 World Cup.
Yeah. That
was... As the only person under the age of 24.
Yeah.
That's another story for another day.
Okay. So what do we think our opening... What do we think the score is going
to
be?
I think it will be impossible not for Alex Morgan to score a goal.
Are you sure?
Yeah. We're going to have... a weird back line, you know. Sonnet is probably going to play maybe as center back. We'll probably keep Kat Klingenberg on one of the fullbacks, and then I don't know if he's going to do KJ or our lovely M, good old M, playing the other one. But there's a lot of depth.
I'll bet you Emily Ben just looking forward to nothing more than being able to slide tackle Alex Morgan.
Oh god, that'd be great.
I know, right? Okay, I'm gonna.
So they're going to score one, but we're better theoretically.
Yeah.
We have our Icelandic goddess Brittany Herdebjerg as our attacking mid, I would think. Sink maybe up top. I would think we should be cohesive enough with a pretty relaxed coach in Parsons that we could put up a W on the first game.
I think so too. Let's go, I'm going to say... in classic Thorns fashion, because the Thorns don't do anything in moderation, we either win big or we lose big. I'm going to go 3-1 Thorns.
3-1 if we win, okay. I'll go 2-1. And if we lose, it'll be 5-1 with 3 red cards.
Red card on Michelle Bedos.
Yes. Ariana French will get one and she won't see a minute because she'll just be doing it from the bench. I got to say, the day that a Timber or Thorn has a red card from not playing is going to be the day that we will never let them buy a beer for themselves in this city.
That's true. Yeah. That is true. Okay, so we've got the Thorns down for a win. Who do we think are going to score the 3 goals?
Brace for Sink?
Yes.
Why not?
Who's the goalkeeper now? It's Ashlyn Harris, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, yep. So Ashlyn Harris went to the Pride.
Mm-hmm. Here, might as well look up there. Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
Pride
okay.
roster. Research while you talk. La, 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 la.
So, Brace for Sink.
Oh, Catley's on that team. I completely forgot that. Our other dangerous winger that, if you want to give a reason for Riley getting fired, the fact that he never found a way to use her properly.
I know. I'm going to miss Catley. She was so good.
Yeah. I don't remember seeing Hagen in action. She was one of their 3 initial, but they're also...
Leanne Sanderson with that? Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Second, third, fourth pick in the expansion draft.
Lost our British contingent.
Yeah.
Which may or may not be a bad thing, because England's not going to the Olympics, are they?
No.
Jesus.
They'd have to have a new unified system, because they had the Great Britain team at the 2012 games, which was kind of cool for the men and women's side, but... Oh, those kits, though. You remember those kits?
Which ones?
It was like, it was half of the Union Jack, but they replaced the red with navy. It was a weird color combination, and it was somewhere between fabulous and terrible.
Was it a Nike kit?
It was Adidas. Adidas did all the stuff.
Hmm. Well, that would make more sense, because Nike doesn't make anything between fabulous and terrible. It's just flat out terrible.
Oh, yeah. Give me some pictures, motherfucker. Yeah.
Oh, God. What is that?
it's kind of fitting that Jack Rodwell's career went down after having to take that terrible picture.
We're going to have to post this with this picture in the show notes.
Oh, absolutely.
So you all can see what we're looking at, because this is...
Rest in peace, Jack Rodwell.
Someone needs more drinky.
I suppose I do.
Okay. So Christine Sinclair and the Thorns are going to score. I'm putting down 3 points, and Alex Morgan and her and the Pride are going to score one. And Alex Morgan's going to get the only goal, assuming she's healthy.
They'll probably be on a crap penalty.
She'll score the one goal, and then she'll hurt her ankle afterwards, and then she'll be out for the rest of the season.
That's probably, yeah. She's had good luck on that turf here in Portland, so we'll see. I'm pretty sure from the championship. What's that? I'd have to look that up. I think the championship season, you know, when she was trying to fight back, I think that happened at a home game. Who knows? I should just hope we can actually score goals and not look pedestrian and pray for a draw this season at home.
Yeah. You know what I'm kind of hoping for this season? I'm not so much concerned with us winning the league. That would be great.
Mm.
But what I want is for the very least for us to make the playoffs without the hope of us entering the playoffs hinging upon another team dropping points.
Yes.
That's what I want more than anything else. I will consider this season a success if we make it into the playoffs on our own merit.
Yeah, we essentially spent roughly a month watching every match day and praying someone beats the other or there's a bunch of mutual draws. That was insane. Yeah, maybe a home game, a semifinal home game. That would be fantastic. But yeah, just making it, you're absolutely right, would be bar number one.
Mm-hmm. That's what I want more than anything else. I don't want to have to worry about the Washington Spirit dropping points. I don't want to worry about Sky Blue, of all people, having to... I don't want to put our hopes into Sky Blue.
No, not at all.
Because while they are pretty good at keeping a clean sheet, doesn't necessarily mean they're winning or doing us any favors.
Yeah. Maybe even worse, though, is if we control our destiny but have to get three away at Western New York with Paul Riley knowing how the hell we operate.
Oh, he went to Western New York.
Yes, he did.
Oh, man.
I'm glad he has a job. I didn't hate him as much as everyone else did.
Yeah, I didn't hate him either. I think he may have made some poor decisions. I'm still, so a while back when we got rid of Riley, I was on the fence. I like Mark Parsons.
Mm-hmm. He seems to be pretty solid. Yeah.
He's got great Twitter presence, and he'll converse with you.
Mm-hmm.
He converses with the fans. Paul Riley did not do that, but I think it's because he knew most of the fans would have skinned his head if he'd had any hair left. But he didn't. But he just had no personality, no charisma. He couldn't deal with the fans.
No, very quiet.
Very quiet, right. Which is really weird, considering what he did to get fans involved in women's soccer back when he was with the Independents?
Philly?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was his first foray with Vero.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But we'll see, because it's like, you can't tell me that Riley was the only problem that the Thorns faced. Like, he's just one cog in an entire wheel.
Yeah.
Right? That makes sense. So depending on how this season goes, I will determine my ultimate verdict on Paul Riley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if he does, you know, if Parsons has trouble out of the gate trying to get everything together, and Riley seems to be decent at getting the youngsters in Western New York to do a decent job, then, you know, we'll look a little more fondly on him.
Yeah.
If it's absolutely awful and the family up in New York throws him under the bus, Sacramento Kings style, that'd be hilarious, and we'll think less of him.
Mm-hmm.
Although, as many as the positive platitudes you put on Parsons, alliteration unintended there, he is a Chelsea fan.
No, I don't know why you had to remind me of this.
Okay.
Yeah, he is a Chelsea fan, but no one's perfect.
That's true. Look at us.
I know. No one's perfect. Like, according to some, the fact that I'm a Tottenham supporter means I have some serious flaws. I just like to think that because I am a Tottenham supporter, I know how to deal well with disappointment, except for this season. Being a Tottenham supporter is a lot like being a Timbers supporter. Things look really good for the first 75 minutes, and then things go to shit.
Have you been following Team Everton at home this year? Because that's the same way shit's going down, too.
No, I can't follow Everton. I just... Not because I don't want to, because there's only so much soccer in my life. I can only handle so much soccer in my life.
Everton's lost at least two games up 2-0 or greater.
And they shouldn't be.
In the dying minutes of their home games. It's been the same.
The few times I've watched Everton play, my first thought was, is this is a team who's standing in the table does not reflect the quality of the what's on the pitch. I feel like Everton is one of those teams that probably should be in the top half. Where's Everton at right now? Like,
probably 12th, 13th, 14th.
Like, you should be above at least 9th.
They should be. Eighth. They should be salivating over Europa's even qualifying spot, but they won't.
They should be, but for whatever reason, bad luck just hits Everton.
Yeah, I can't point it at one thing. One thing, as we'll now transition to the Premier League, but one thing I love is when the John Stones rumors to Chelsea were happening around August, September, is that, like, someone happily retweeted like a highlight video of him, and it's basically like skill footwork, but you're a center back. When you have the ball at your feet and people are around you, you fucking kick it out of bounds or you kick it 60 yards up the field. Mm-hmm. You don't dilly-dally, and he's been
dilly-dallying.
He does, yeah, which kind of is fitting for that squad. But then we had our interaction where I had pretend fake crap thrown at Kyle Walker. They've done, what, their lowest conceded goals in the league this year.
Yes, Tottenham has the least number of conceded goals, and we have the greatest goal differential.
Yeah.
By a wide margin. I think we're at 32, which is fucking insane.
Yeah, it's been a good season. You've handily beaten the teams you should be beating by any margin, and you've done pretty damn well against the major squads.
Yeah. It's weird. Here's the funny thing with, like, Tottenham fans, and I listen to the Tottenham podcasts and stuff, and the English Tottenham fans are just, they want to win the league, but they're just happy to be in the top four at this point. American Tottenham fans, at least on one American Tottenham podcast I listen to, they're not going to be happy if we don't win the league. It's not we're content with being in the top four. It's we win the league. But, I mean, I think that's kind of reflective of American sports culture.
Yeah. Right?
Where we have playoffs. It doesn't matter who's second, who's third. All that matters is who came in first. Whereas in English soccer, there is no playoffs.
Yeah, when you're in a round-robin table, you don't have that chance to have a second thought after the tables run full, after you have your supporter shields and whatnot.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a good season. It's been a fun ride. We're 6 points ahead of Arsenal at this point, so they get to mind the gap. And St. Totteringham's Day, I forget how they pronounce it. I don't know.
St. Tottingham's Day, is that what it is?
Totteringham's?
Yeah, the day where they can no longer catch them in the first time in 20 years it'll be.
I don't think Arsenal's going to have that.
No.
But to me, this is super delicious. I'm loving this moment because Arsenal's excuse up to this point has been that we can't break out of the third place because Man U, Man City, and Chelsea all spend more money. They have a lot more money than us, so how is it we can be expected to do better than where we're at? And hey, we're getting into Champions League year after year. Who cares? You're not bringing home the trophies.
Yeah, round of 16 out.
Yeah. But they're still in third place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what's your excuse now? Your previous excuse was that you were facing teams who spent more money than you, but now you're Tottenham and Leicester are ahead of you, and I think Leicester probably has less money than Tottenham.
Yeah,
that's my assumption. I don't know.
They'll probably end this. Arsenal fans, no offense, sorry to you, nice, fine people, but they'll probably look back in nostalgia and say, "Do you remember how well Man City started the season? We finished one ahead of them." It's like that's not the story, but that's how. If you want to hold on to that bag of dreams, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be delicious though to see whatever excuses they can come up with next as to why they didn't do well.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just, I mean, I love underdog and I love soccer schadenfreude, and obviously you know that feeling being a hater of Arsenal, but it's just been insane, this Leicester squad. The actual rotation of the season is basically five guys, and now they rotate between two guys. They have their exact starting lineup they've been using since January, and then they'll throw Ujola on as an extra striker. They'll bring in Jeffrey Schlupp as a wing back, or they have the new signing from Birmingham City, Demarai Gray, and that's it. That's basically it. Maybe rotate in the new wing back, Daniel Amarte, but that's it. It's awesome. And they're not a bunch of Arsenal signed 19-year-olds that aren't communicating well with each other. They're a bunch of 26 to 28-year-olds that know what the fuck they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they have gas. And I love Danny Drinkwater and N'Golo Kante. They are just fantastic. You know, you actually have. As an American fan, when you start off and you start paying attention, they say, you know, Bradley, he's a box-to-box mid. He can do it all. He can attack. He can play defense. But we never created that second European-ish quality midfielder. Leicester created two understudies. One was a Drinkwater was a cast off from the United Academy. Kanté was playing for Caen in the bouncing between the first and second divisions of France, and they are the unsung studs. Kanté is leading the league in, I think, interceptions and tackles, mostly standing tackles. He's a wizard at that. And Drinkwater is almost as good as Mahrez at threading the needle. It's fucking awesome. Do you think your Tottenham hot shorts can go ahead and plug that gap?
In the midfield?
As far as the points differential.
I think so.
You've got, what, United and Chelsea coming up.
Liverpool is our next match.
Sorry, Liverpool and United.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Whether or not we can plug those... Leicester. They're a good team.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, we don't play them anymore because I think we played them four times this year. Twice in...
Three times in January. The 1-0 loss at White Hart Lane. And then the late 1-1 draw... at White Hart Lane. Then you won, 2-1 in the other FA Cup match? But yeah, that's a lot of seeing one person in a four-month stretch when you include the other.
I'm going to say yes. I think we can plug that gap. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be nerve-wracking, which is about what I expect. And it's a completely, it's a biased yes. It's because of the love for my team that I'm going to say yes.
That's fair.
But I'm going to be happy with whatever it is they do as long as Arsenal remains in third and continues to sit on their... genitalia.
Yeah.
Through the rest of the Premier League.
Yeah, one way or the other, you'll be happily looking back on the season because best finish in a long time, finish above Arsenal theoretically, probably 7 games, 6 points, and then reap in all that Champions League money, try to build better depth around the team. Pochettino does do a pretty good job of keeping his 18 to 21 year olds around, like Ryan Mason. I think Harry Winks is one of the few people that is actually on loan. You only have 3 people on loan. Versus Chelsea has 26.
On loan?
Yeah.
Where did Winks go?
I would have to look that up. Or maybe he is.
Yedlin's gone over to Sunderland.
I will look that up. One of your youngsters was sold off to League One, Shaquille Colquist, if that's the name that is correct. Research. Oh, of course, Yedlin. Yeah, Yedlin. Oh, yeah, and he also got rid of, sent Pritchard off. Alex Pritchard was great at Brentford last year. I watch a lot of Championship, and he has a very nice right foot.
Fazio's on loan?
Yep.
I did not. Well, since it's Fazio, who cares?
No, I guess Winks is still around.
Yes.
Mason and Carroll have gotten a lot of good minutes lately.
They have.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Mason is probably one of the more hated players outside of Chadley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this really great tweet from one of the Spurs podcasts, and the guy says... how does he put it? He goes, Chadley is that guy who works in the office, who dicks around all month, but still manages to meet his goals.
Yeah.
That's Chadley.
Oh, his footwork, sending crosses in. I can't remember the last highlight I looked at, but he's got a dreamy foot.
He's got what?
He's got a dreamy foot.
A dreamy foot. It's not all about Chadley. It's dreamy. That man's hot.
Oh, he's pretty hot.
Looks good in a towel.
Yeah. Although, if you could put his skills on Etienne Capoue's framework, I think that would be a better-looking man. The defensive mid that you guys sold off to Watford, he's...
I don't think I've seen Capoue.
I'll pull up
the picture. At least I don't remember what he looks like. There's so many players we just got rid of.
You haven't sold a ton of people off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's a good-looking man.
Yeah. This is the point of the podcast where everyone just checks out.
Mm-hmm.
We start talking about... You shouldn't be objectifying men based on sexuality.
Well, we're basically two guys spending most of our time talking about women's soccer, so everything is fucked.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. Okay. What else? Do we want to cover anything else about the Premier League?
I think we pretty much covered it.
Oh, actually, you know what's interesting? So some people have talked about how the Premier League is not nearly as competitive as, say, the Bundesliga. Or even, what's the Spanish? La Liga, mm-hmm. Spanish league. But what's interesting to me is how tight the race is between the top four. and how the three teams that were promoted this season are the three teams least likely to be relegated. Actually, because we know Astonville is going down the drain. Like, they're done.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad.
Well, how often do you see a team that had never spent two consecutive seasons in the Premier League in Watford go on a five-game win streak, let alone five unbeaten, which they did, I think, through November to December? That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I would almost argue that, like, the Premier League is more competitive than any other league because you don't have these blowouts. I can't, like, and no offense to anyone who enjoys the Bundesliga or La Liga and likes Bayern or Barcelona, but to me, those, there's really no point in keeping up with them or watching their matches, or PSG for that matter. Liga 1, where, you know, you got PSG blown out. I think their last match when they won the league, it was like, what was it, 9-0 or 7-0?
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. What's the point?
Yeah, I didn't come to soccer to root for the Duke or UConn versions of professional European soccer.
And I don't know about you, but I think with your selection of Everton as the team you're following, but that's part of the reason I chose Tottenham, is because I didn't want to choose any of the big teams.
You were thinking about, if I can say this, you were thinking about Newcastle, which I thought was pretty awesome, because they have an awesome fan base, similar to Tottenham, and they...
I had thought about Newcastle. Yeah. I briefly flirted with the idea of Arsenal.
Yeah.
It just didn't appeal to me.
My reasons were dumb. I grew up not in the Midwest, so I didn't really have a localized team. So I did really like Landon Donovan, so I'm going to definitely lose about 10 followers. And I still have a jersey hiding in the recesses in the bowels of this house. But
I'm going to find it, and I'm going to wear it on this podcast.
So
message your wife and be like, you dig out the Landon Donovan kit for me.
So my reasons were, like Landon Donovan, he was on loan. Tim Howard is there, and I like him ever since he left United, and Fellaini's hair at the time. Those are worthless reasons to root for a team. But every other team I root for in every other sport follows the Everton of, wow, you really fucked that season up. You really fucked that
up. Well, you
up.
Choose teams based on suffering.
In a way. You the do. Only team I root for that is good is my alma mater, but I threw enough money at them that I can say that I like them.
Gonzaga?
Yep. Yeah. Just falling out of the Sweet 16 on the last fucking second.
You like to suffer, though.
It makes my comedy better.
Yeah.
Which makes it mediocre.
But in a way, don't we all like to suffer? If anyone's listening to this podcast, at the very least, we know they're a Thorns and or a Timbers fan. And if there's something that those two fan bases understand, it's suffering.
Mm-hmm. Or being friends of either of us, mostly me. That is suffering in its own right.
That's true. Just looking at you right now and having to get this close to your face because of where the microphone is, like, this hurts.
Yes, it does.
But it's just like being a Tottenham supporter, you know? You are accustomed to some pain.
Mm-hmm. I worry about what will happen with the Timbers if they manage to magically repeat. Then what will we do?
What become even do? More insufferable, I would imagine.
Hide a FC Dallas kit with your Rudy's name on the back and dream of sadder times, maybe.
You know, if you want to dream of sadder times, you don't get an FC Dallas or Rudy kit. You get a Danny O'Rourke kit.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
If actually, someone within the TA is probably going to get super hipster and make that kit, or a kit of someone who never really saw any minutes. Oh, what was the name of the one guy?
It'll be Timbers Danny Horst kits. Because he was injured, like, the whole fucking time that they got him in the expansion draft or something.
No, there
or Chris Boyd, the Rangers striker.
Oh, I think he's pretty hated.
Yeah.
I think so. Chris Boyd was before my time as a Timbers fan.
He came with that English original coach for the MLS.
Wasn't there another Nigerian player who was with us last year? Briefly, he's like a winger, I think.
Is this the guy that was in the Barca Academy?
Maybe, I forget.
We should research more, but yeah.
We should. Welcome to... Here's the thing.
This is the alpha release.
This is not only is this the alpha, but this is how our conversations normally go.
Yeah.
This is what we're most comfortable with. We don't do polished.
No. No, if we want polished, we'll bring it in, like, Nicole or...
Polished turd is still a turd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope we can eventually bring on smart people that we know that actually have played this sport at some decent level. We'll see.
Yeah. Let's see. I need to look this up because this is going to bother me. Nigerian winger.
Speaking of roster fluctuation, the Timbers in the first 2.5 years. Holy shit. It's like a soap opera rotation.
Yes. Oh, I'm still. You know, the moment that we decided to sign to when Viafania was sold to what team is he playing for in the MX?
The one with the green hoops. I'll look it up.
Know this is bad. I can't keep track of all
Santos
these.
Laguna.
Okay. I was worried when I saw that because my first thought was, well, so we prioritized two aging center backs over keeping a winger who has been nothing but good for us.
Yeah, I mean, I used to in my head think, what's the point of Viafania? He has no breakaway speed, which is something you think of in when you're taught as a youngster in this sport, that speedy fullbacks, you want your Hector Bellerins, you want your Danny Roses.
I am not seeing the name of that Timbers
I miss
player.
Mamadou Dance, so that's the only African we had on the 2012
Footy?
squad. Yeah.
Yeah, Footy was awesome.
He is now with the Rayo Vallecano, the Oklahoma City club.
How do you think people who played in MLS, such as Footy, how do you think they feel getting bounced down into the NASL or the USL?
That's a good question. I think it's you already have to have a little humility. I read a while ago on the Guardian website, they had a great article about the idea of the second coming of Beckham, and one of them was Joe Cole, who used to be a West Ham and Aston Villa midfielder. He had great technical skills, but just too many injuries. He's now actually heading from Coventry City in the third tier of the English, and he will play for the Rowdies next year because they want to bring up their stature. Because I think, between that and the Adu signing, that they want to, get that person that's coming out of the 2011 coma to come to their stadium and watch some games. So I think there has to be a level of humility or just hanging on. There's the writer and commentator for Howler, who is a been an off and on soccer player whose name eludes me. He's got his head on straight. He knows how screwed everything is. So, yep, I'm 28 and it's all pretty much over. So I'm going to be honest.
I'm Yarte. There we go. So he wasn't a winger, he was a forward. I kept thinking he played the wing, but Ishmael Yarte.
What years did he play?
2015. He was here for, I don't know,
Oh, I
half
don't
the
even remember
season.
him.
He's from
Holy shit.
Ghana. Never mind, not Nigeria.
I'm not going to make a Ghana as in he is now departed joke. That is too easy at this point.
I don't even know what that means.
He's long Ghana.
Oh, God. You're
Well, I
awful.
think we've reached the pun point where we should probably wrap this up.
Do you want to talk about anything else? Howard to MLS. Going back to Everton real quick. Tim Howard to MLS of
He is slow
Colorado
and he has
Rapids.
bad reactions, and I am glad he's gone because Joel Robles is actually kind of fast and kind
Do
of
we think he's
decent.
going to make a difference for the Rapids?
If he's committed, sure. Beyond that, ticket sales. Beyond that, a little extra merch. They have a great color scheme. I mean,
Actually, that kit's pretty cool.
yeah.
The white and not white, yellow and blue one.
That deep, deep burgundy.
It's a pretty kit.
Yeah. They got a star. I mean, with all the hubbub of people slapping stars on Timbers kits, it's already there for you in Denver.
The Columbus Crew, their kit that everyone is hating, I love. I'm actually loving all the new kits because they are not generic.
No, Adidas. I mean, Adidas has an idea where they keep reusing templates a little, but they stay fresher than Nike does. One of my favorite websites is historicalkits.co.uk, and you see, you'll go through all the leagues, Scottish and English, all the way down to the end of the professional tiers, and it's like Nike. Okay, Nike, you supply 20 teams, and you give them three different stocks to work with, and one of them is, some of them are bad. Some of them, they add one little notch on it, and it's like, okay, that's okay. But at least the Adidas deal has been really good, I think, for
I love it.
quality in our closets.
Yeah. I love the Adidas kits. Nike kits are just like they're boring. They follow a single template. You don't like this year you don't know. If you look at the national team kits, you don't know if you're looking at a US men's team kit. You don't know if you're looking at the French or the English. They all kind of look the same. And now you got the women's is it the women's cut that has like that nice plungy that plunging neckline
I first
going
noticed
for it?
that with the Brazil 2014, but Nike just doesn't give a shit. The new kits are just awful. If I can figure out some of these, the kit, the stock that they're using for the U.S., or they're also using for England, France. The only color scheme where it looked cool is Portugal's burgundy, and it kind of looks like it has a stripe. Mm-hmm. And I like that alternate green. I'll include a link here to some of the Euro kits that we're looking at here.
Ooh, what is that? A turkey?
Yeah.
That's sexy.
Turkey has a weird, would you call that a teal mesh on white?
I would call that more towards, I guess teal would work, or you go with a seafoam blue.
Seafoam blue, that is a term I've never heard and I love it.
Seafoam blue, and it's a netted seafoam blue. Yeah.
I know a lot of people hate the Croatia checkered design, but I think it's kind of awesome, at least with the white, the red and white on the white shorts.
I think it works.
Yeah. And then Germany releasing and wearing the horizontal striped charcoal and gray on the green. I mean, if you kept one of those two grays on the sleeves, it might roll.
Spain's kit, meh. Italy. Oh, that's a cool kit.
They're reusing their 2015, but now for away kit now.
I like that nice little stripe down the center.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh, Belgium. Their kit's pretty awesome.
Oh, they're not new sponsor. Okay, they used to have Urea, which is a smaller entity, I think, out of Italy. Those are better. They have the flag across the middle on white away, and then that same. You notice it on the goalkeeper kits. They have two different panes, especially on the top, the Swansea kit. You can see the color differential on the whites between the tits and the stomach.
Wells, led by Welsh Jesus.
I wish he'd cut his hair, though. He'd look so much hotter with shorter hair.
He would.
Or at least shaved sides on that man bun thingamajig.
Yeah. That's why I call him Welsh Jesus.
That's a good one. Hashtag Welsh Jesus.
Ukraine, Hungary. Anyways, so Romania. Mm-hmm. Switzerland.
Going with hoops. Ooh, yeah.
Slovakia.
Mm-hmm.
Austria. Anyways. If it weren't for the fact that I don't believe in wearing kits of teams I don't support, I would wear so many of these.
I'm thinking about getting the Welsh kit. I think I actually even the one they had last term had pinstripes with the weird green, and it was a little much, but they were succeeding in it, and that's almost the biggest thing. Let's say, for example, Tottenham's away kit with the blue and the lighter blue and has the weird striping black patterns.
Tottenham's kits. Oh, yeah. God. They've never been that good. Except last year we had that black and yellow one that was really nice. I like that. But this year we got two what are essentially solid color kits. We got a purple one, we got a black one.
I kind of love
the
purple.
They're not black, but blue.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Arsenal's kits are nice.
Mm-hmm.
I will say Arsenal has nice kits. Who else? Chelsea? They've got that white.
They occasionally have that white away, but it's the best I've seen so far in the last versus the few years ago.
If I didn't hate their team so much, I would probably wear it.
Yeah, that's fair. Sometimes style, you really start thinking, it's like, how can I justify this?
Yeah, I can't. Not with Chelsea.
No,
I just can't.
All right. We should probably wrap it up. Thank you for listening to this smattering of bullshit.
Yes, and the next episode will probably be about the same. It might be a little bit more organized.
Yeah.
Still bullshit.
We're aiming for a roughly bi-weekly release, so that'll give us a decent amount of content, but we managed to fluff however many minutes out of this bullshit. So, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at Michael L. White, at RyanNB30. Show notes, we'll hopefully have all these links up at my website, withonions.com. And don't forget, comments, hate mail, suggestions for future topics, hatemailforsoccer@gmail.com.
Or at Michael L. White. Don't send me the hate mail. I can't handle it.
Well, that's why. I gave you the password to the damn email. No. Yes, DM Ryan all the things hate about him.
There's nothing to hate about me.
And with that, we shall bid adieu. Thank you for listening.